Good to have you with us, and of course, a lot of our subject we've talked about tonight is salvation. The brother back there tonight, this afternoon, and I told him a few weeks ago, and you know, I guess I'm different. You'd be looking up Acts chapter 12. I guess I'm maybe different than some preachers. I'm not really one to go back and try to drag you into the altar. Sometimes God's in it. Don't take me wrong on this. Sometimes God speaks to somebody to go talk to somebody, and that's all they needed was somebody to come by and say, go pray with me. But I've just always kind of been letting God do that kind of work. And I told him here a few weeks ago, we was praying and had him on my heart back there and preached the message on dealt a measure of faith, that we're all dealt a measure of faith. And I don't know if that ministered to him, but I felt like that we need to know and realize that no matter who we are, we can be saved. And the devil tries to convince folks that they can't be saved, but can somebody here tonight say that we are a whosoever? That's who I am. I am a whosoever, and as a young boy saved me, and on this October day, Stephen back there accepted Christ, and that's a great, great thing. We're excited about that. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap and praise this night.
Amen. Praise God.
All right, you got chapter 12 of Acts found. Stand with me. Amen. God is so good. Verse 1. Excuse me. Praise God. Verse 1 says this. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Also, then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the doors of the prison. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this night. Praise you for your blessings. Thank you for answering prayer. Lord, we just ask that you would anoint us to say what you want said in this service tonight. Lord, we praise you for victory. Thank you for the soul today, Lord. And we just ask that you would minister in this service tonight, Lord. Anoint me to say what you want said. And Lord, we'll praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. Appreciate the Lord tonight. I'm going to talk to you tonight about, starting off in this message, about the expectations of the devil. How many believes the devil's got a plan out there? Now, we're not going to lift him up above all names by no shape or form, but we're going to talk a little bit about the first part of our message about Satan has an expectation out there, Brother Barney, that he can defeat the church. How many knows that? The enemy of our soul really believes, and I still think he's convinced today, that he can overpower God. Had Jesus hemmed up in a grave, rolled the stone in front of the grave, had him caught, and Satan's plan was to stop what was happening with Jesus. And I really believe that devil expected to keep him in that tomb. And then we find here is Peter. And Peter was going out preaching about that Jesus that the devil thought he had caught. Anybody with me tonight? And I really believe, Brother Barney, that as we read the scriptures here, I really believe that the devil expected that when he got Peter thrown in that jail, in the quarantine, there was four quarantines. He was in the inner part of the jail. And they had men guard the doors. And I really believe tonight that Satan expected to keep Peter in that prison. Maybe even at that time, he was planning on probably killing him because he'd already killed John and it pleased the people. And so he got that job done. And I really believe he had expectations, the devil did, to stop Peter and kill him. Attitude check. Hallelujah, somebody. So as he has him in the prison, there was something else took place. Have you ever been in a place that you thought there was no way out? Have you ever been in a place where they thought there's no hope? Have you ever been, it just seemed like you'd gone as far as you can go and nothing was going to happen good for you? Oh, this is for somebody here tonight. And you know what happens? The devil expects to keep you there. His plan is, hallelujah, his plan is to stop what God's got in store for you. He will slip in and rob what God's got planned if you allow him. But there was something going on with Peter that I don't think the devil planned on. Can I tell you right now, there's something going on that the devil can't stop. Glory. But his expectation is to stop what God's got planned for you. I'm here to tell you right now, amen, when you begin to channel your expectation towards God and realize that God is greater than anything that might come against you, is anybody with me here tonight? Well, in case you hadn't figured out, I'm beginning to feel just a little bit of push here tonight. Praise God. You see, the devil plans on stopping things in your life, but I'm here to proclaim to you that he's not got the authority over my life because I'm a blood-bought child of the King, and he's got no place in my life, in my mind, and in your life, and in your mind. Glory. Now, there's not a doubt in my mind that this morning when I give the altar call, and Stephen, just for some reason, he said he just didn't know, he just was afraid to or didn't know for sure what to do. Well, this is going to have to be a good one tonight. I forgot my hanky, and oh, we're spitting good. I have to wipe your glasses off when this is over, hon. Hallelujah. I'm really certain this morning that as Stephen walks out the door this morning, I really believe that the devil expected, Brother Danny, that he'd robbed that spirit of the devil God that was trying to draw him for many days before. I believe the devil expected that he had that job done. But can I tell you one more time, just like it was for Peter, the word said they were in the church praying for Peter. Peter was bound. Praise God. He was in a place and it seemed like there was no hope. But can I tell you, prayer will change things in your life. Praise God. And as he goes out to Walmart, and no doubt the devil thinks, if I can get him off the Caps Road, I got it whooped out this time. I may have to shout before this is over with. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. I believe there's somebody here tonight. Hey, man, the devil's got plans, and he thinks he's got you knocked down. to the point that you're not going to get where God wants you to get. But I'm here to tell you right now, amen, when God's on your side, when prayer's going on, amen, what he's got planned may not work out like he's got thought. So no doubt, this is, you say, oh, you're just ad-libbing, preacher. No doubt when Stephen and Mandy pulls up there at Walmart, he thinks for sure the devil does. Oh, I've got him whooped out for at least another week. Amen. I've got him whipped out now. This is what I planned on. I got him out of that building. I got him out of that church house. And he gets out there at Walmart, he won't feel none of that conviction power in his life. But something happened in Stephen's life. As he got farther away, conviction began to get stronger. He broke down and went to crying. And he's told us, let's go back to church. And Mindy said she's praying all the way that we'd be here so we could pray with him. Can I tell you right now, the expectation that the devil has in your life will not exceed what God's got planned for you. Glory! Whew. Hallelujah! My Lord, my Lord. The devil will whisper in your ear. He'll lie to you. He'll convince you. He'll back you out of something. He'll say, all right, the stone's already in front of the door. There's no way to get out. Can I tell you right now, when God's on your side and God's hearing your prayer, it doesn't matter what the devil says. It matters what God says. Knocks you down, depresses you, discourages you. You lose a battle here, you lose a battle there. Now, can I ask you right now, what are you expecting out of them battles you've lost? Are you going to lay down and stay down? Are you going to get up and realize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on your side? Praise God. It doesn't matter what the devil's plan is. It matters what God's plan is. You can't find it anywhere in this word. I'll tell you one thing. That's a pitiful excuse for a hanky. Look at that. That thing can't hold up under the Holy Ghost power. That hanky ain't, there you go. Now we're getting there. That'll work. People listening to this table think I'm the craziest thing ever happened. Now that's probably true. You see? Peter was in prison. Brother Eldon, he was caught. He was down. He was defeated. In the eyes of Satan, but not in the eyes of God. Woo, this is shouting out for somebody around here tonight. Not in God's eyes, not in God's plan. And what God expected was the church to be praying. What God expected was somebody that believed in him would begin to pray to him and begin to stand in the gap, begin to be that go-between. That's what God expected. And can I tell you, that's what God did, and that's what the church did. They was praying for him. Let's read on. Peter, verse 7 said, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, rise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Ooh, glory. Angel said to him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about me, about thee, and follow me. And when he went out and followed him, he wist not that it was true, which is bound up done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter thinks he's just having a vision there. Peter thinks this is just some kind of, you know, dream or vision, or it's not really real. Can I tell you? It was real. God can do things that are unreal to you. Well, I'll be first to admit, as a pastor, at 1 o'clock and church dismissed and we're fixed to leave, I had no plans of somebody getting saved. Somebody said something about that. I said, I can tell you one thing. It was not dynamic preaching that brought this boy in. It was nothing but the power of the Holy Ghost convicting him and dealing with him and dealing with him. And church, I can tell you right now, this was not the devil's plan to see Stephen come up here and walk through the walk down the Romans road and accept Christ as his Savior. Didn't plan on that. Woo, glory. Now somebody needs to claim and grab a hold of this tonight and say, whatever you've got planned for my life, devil, I got a God on my side that's greater. I might be in the inner part of this prison, but I'm not going to stay there. It might seem like I'm walking and don't know where I'm walking, but I can tell you right now, God's still got some angels that'll come down and touch my life. Whew. Glory to God. God's expectation is for you to call on Him. God's expecting to hear from you. God's expecting to hear from this preacher. God's expecting this preacher to start praying throughout the week and say, Lord, give me something for somebody out there Sunday morning. Lord, expecting to hear something from me. Saying, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Praise God. The Lord knows, my God knows when things come my way. He knows when I get discouraged. He knows when things come that would trip you up. And God's on your side. Listen to me tonight. Amen. The devil expects to knock you down and keep you down, but God don't have that kind of plan. God has a plan. Hang on. Not done yet. I'll cough a while and we'll preach a while. Anybody with me? You've got to realize this, that God is the one in control of this, not the devil. We give him too much credit. He can't do anything except God allow him. So if a God allows him, then why should I be concerned? If God allows something to come in my life like he did Job and be knocked down and feel like there's just depressing things in my life, if God's allowed that, why should I not realize that that God that allowed it is going to be the same God that's going to restore me and bring me where I need to be? Peter was doing nothing wrong but just preaching Jesus. I really wonder how many preachers we'd have if the thing preceding your message was one of two things, a good whipping, a good thrashing, a good beating, or going to the jail. I got a feeling there'd be a lot of sick preachers come Sunday morning. I just can't get out of bed. Probably be calling in to the deacon and say, hear my voice, I can't hardly talk. I don't think I could preach a lick this morning. That's as if they knew on Sunday morning it's going to be a beating, or it's going to be in jail because it's preaching about Jesus. I'm like John Hagee. I'm not going to stop. Oh, it talks cheap, preacher. Well, I can tell you right now, if I can't keep on preaching when things go wrong right now, what am I going to do when somebody does threaten me? Think about that. Go home, think about it. Now, the devil plans. The devil's plan is to keep me in the prison, locked down, quarantined. My Lord. Amen. Guard on every door so there's no way I get out of there. That's what the devil's plan is. But God's got other plans for your life. He don't want you in prison. He don't want you bound. How many knows what the word says? That whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody hear me tonight. Praise God. The angel come by. So get ready, son. Get your clothes on. Let's go. We got somewhere to go. Peter's over there snoozing around thinking this can't be real. Amen. How many knows what happened? Amen. He girds up and he gets ready to go. And they start walking. And Peter thinks he's in a dream. Glory. You said you preached on this a while back. Let me preach again to you. Hallelujah. You don't like this, blame the Lord. He said, preach it again. You see, when they went out, amen, he thought he was in a vision. Verse 10 said, and when they went past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith, the angel departed from him. Woo, glory. That is shouting ground right there. Amen. Went through the first ward, went through the second ward, come up to the iron gate. Now listen, you've got some ideas in your mind that there's no way to get through some of these gates you've got to go through. Run up there to a gate. All right, farmers, help me out. What is that saying? Like a calf looking at a new gate. Is that what y'all say? Come on, farmers, don't quit me now. My Lord, I'm a city slicker. Help me out here. That gate wasn't there and don't know how to get out and look at it and don't know how to get through it. Is that, am I describing this all right? I'm going to hand a microphone off here in a minute to one of these farmers. I'll be like, oh, Josh, look around and say, all right, your time. And you see, you're looking at that gate and you don't think there's any way to get through that gate. Peter didn't have a clue what God was going to do for him. Can I tell you right now, God's plan is not the devil's plan. The devil wants to keep you in prison, wants to keep your mind bogged down, wants to keep you depressed, wants to keep you discouraged. But God's not got that plan. God wants to hear from you. God wants you to get up when the angel says get up. He wants you to walk out of there, praise God. And as he opens the doors, you've got a door to go through. Woo, my Lord, this is feeling good, isn't it? Attitude check. Peter walks out. Walks out. You know that story happened. This is very. I preach this a lot of times. And as he gets out, he goes back to the church, and here they are. They're over there praying, Brother Barney. Oh, Jesus, deliver. Deliver, Peter. Amen. Here we are. Lord, deliver Peter. Here I am, a pastor. My God, I'm praying. Save them, Lord. Set free. If there's a lost soul comes to this church, my God, I'm praying right now that you'll save them and set them free. Lord, conviction upon their lives. I'm sitting out there in the Tahoe with my head down. Preaching good to you now. I'm sitting out there in the Tahoe about to go eat something. Car comes up, slam the doors, look out. Here comes my buddy crying. I can tell you right now, that wasn't what I was expecting to see, but thank God. Can somebody say God's plan's greater? My God's greater than what you're going through right now. Don't you look back and say, I can't get out of there. There's no way to get this fixed. There's no way to get past it because God is on your side. Whew. I don't know who this is for, but somebody needs to grab a hold of this tonight. Amen. The anointing of God's in this place, and he wants to let you know that the devil's plan's not going to work if you'll trust him. Peter runs up to the door, goes up there, goes to knock, and here they are, Bobby, praying for Peter to be delivered. Oh, Lord, set him free. Get him out of that prison some way, dear Jesus. Make it out for him. Knocks on the door. Read it. I'm not going to read it no more. He's knocking on the door. He comes to the door, and he's knocking, and Rhoda runs up there and opens the door, and it's Peter. Slam the door in his face. They're praying for him to be delivered. Can I tell you right now, one more time, the devil's plan will not supersede God's plan for your life. When you call on God, when you need God, he's right there, praise God. When you pray, you don't have to figure out how God's going to answer the prayer. All you've got to do is pray and believe, praise God. The word said in Mark 11:23, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, speak to that mountain and it'll be removed. Stephen spoke to the mountain of sin by the precious blood of Jesus this morning, and my God took that sin load from him. Whew. But the devil's plan is to keep you in prison. I'm asking you right now, what are you expecting? I just had to call Sister Marty this morning, or this afternoon. I didn't really tell hardly anybody. I thought Mark wasn't going to be here, and Heather. So I had to tell them, so I called Marty, my sister Marty. I said, you ain't going to believe what happened this morning. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, she's excited. And I can tell you right now, she's up there in room 5115, I believe it is, something like that. And I tell you right now, she's praying this morning. I'm sure of that. And folks, I can tell you right now, prayer will change things in your life when nothing else will. Anybody with me? You go home tonight and you realize one thing. That God that sent that angel down gathered old Peter up and put him out through those gates. That first warden, second warden, Sister Tyner. The big iron gate flew open. They walked out of there freely. That same God that done that miracle will do the miracle that you need in your life if you will so believe in him. Whew. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. Key to this is you. Peter believed. I know Peter believed when he's in prison, but I believe Peter was just being Peter and doing what Peter was supposed to do. He just going to preach. They throwed him in jail. You know, he'd preach to the jailer. It didn't matter. He just preaching. He going to do it no matter what. And the Lord was on his side no matter what. So, my question to you is, I've already told you tonight what the devil's expectation, his plan is for your life, is to keep you beat down, pushed down, pressed down, where you can't raise your head up. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is to deliver when he hears prayers going forth. And Sometimes it doesn't happen like you think. And sometimes it happens exactly like you think. I can tell you this right now. I'm okay. I will not argue the point with my God. I won't complain one minute. If I have to stay here to 2 or 3 o'clock and folks begin to come back down to the house, by the church, and say, I feel like I need to be saved, preacher. I can tell you right now, I won't ever complain about that. Amen. I'll walk right in here at this altar. Well, there's 200 or 300 or 400. And we'll pray them through. If they believe and confess, we'll pray them through to salvation. Anybody with me here tonight, praise God. It doesn't matter how it happens. It just matters that it happens. Praise God. What's your expectation? I want to give you a warning here in closing. Listen to me. I told you what the devil expects. I told you what God expects. And you're going to have some kind of expectation in your life. You've got to make some plans. You're going to have to realize that a lot of this is up to you. Amen, knows that. I can tell you right now, it wasn't my wife, it wasn't my son, it wasn't my parents, it wasn't my pastor that put me in this position, in this office of being a preacher. None of those done that. It was a call that God called upon me to do. Brother Danny, I accepted that call and I said, I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. And therefore, because of that, he has led me, he has guided me, he has been with me. And Brother Charles, he will always be with me as long as I trust him and walk with him. Now, I don't want to get off track. And I tell you, we can get off track. But God, I firmly believe if you love the Lord, and I believe and you're sincere before him, he'll let you know. You know, there have been some times in my life I've had to do some repenting. I've had to do some forgiving. I've had to do some asking for forgiving. Had to do a lot of things like that. I had to ask a guy here one time. It was several years ago. He's one of my best friends right now. One of my best friends. I want to share this with you real quick. One of my best friends. I was fixing to build my house and build our house. And there was a couple of brothers. I thought both of them were saved, but come to find out one of them wasn't. And I went to try to. They thought I had said that they was going to do my sheetrock, and I didn't remember saying that. Maybe I did, and it doesn't really matter. Anyway, I defended them. I didn't use them. And I was out at Walmart one day, and here come this one in. And he's friend, great, one of my best friends, Jimmy Dorsey Horton. And old Jimmy at the time, he was there. He come in. And Jimmy, you just got to know Jimmy. Anybody know Jimmy Dorsey? He you'd think he's mad at you sometimes. Probably was me. He walked in, and the Lord said, you've offended that boy, that man right there. Said, you need to apologize to him. Well, I didn't see no need in that, and I turned around, and I didn't think I'd hurt him. I didn't do nothing wrong. I walked by, and I mean the Holy Ghost slammed up me. He said, you need to apologize to that man. And I said, okay, Lord. Now, listen. Isn't it amazing how the Lord will answer prayers that quick? I said, all right, Lord, you know how easy it is. Have you ever seen somebody at Walmart, want to see him again, you never do see him? I said, Lord, just let me see him again, and I'll apologize. I had no more than thought that and prayed that. Bam, there was Jimmy Dorsey. This is good. Listen to me. And I looked over at Jimmy, and I said, Jimmy, I said, I feel like I may have offended you back when I built my house. And I said, I just feel like I prayed about this, and I feel like I need to apologize to you. I stuck my hand out, and he kind of stuck his hand out, and I said, I want you to forgive me if I've offended you. He said, all right, and walked off. I thought, you bet, brother. Thank you for being the man of God. Nope, that wasn't it. He said, okay, and walked off. I felt all right. I felt better. You know, I thought, okay, I've done what you said, Lord. And would you believe at that time, and I didn't have a clue, that man wasn't saved? And I thought he was. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. That to really have the expectation that God wants is we're going to have to be sensitive to what he says. Does anybody expect God to move for you? Anybody? Come on now. I want to whop out another attitude check here in a minute. I'm feeling pretty preachified right now. You see, God expects something out of us. Amen. If he had to look down and say, when they jabbed that spear in his side and blood and water gushed out of his side and they crowned that crown of thorn on his head, if he had to say, forgive them, Father, they don't know what to do, that means I've got to do the same thing. I've got to be and expect God and expect something out of myself so that I can be what God wants me to be. Peter was doing just that. How many remember what Peter done? Backed up, cursed God, didn't know him. How many remembers that? The Lord restored him, did he not? Well, I'm preaching good to you now. How about one more amen? And here's what happens. The expectation of the devil, God's expectation, and you're going to have to be expecting something, and we cannot find ourselves rocked to sleep. 24th chapter of Matthew, verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known him, what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh." What are you expecting? Now, folks around here, we've made preparations for tomorrow. Sister Tyner made reference of how the Lord's been with her, and someday she's going to be with him, and I believe that's going to happen in her life. And not only her, but many, many others here in this congregation, we're going to have heaven to gain one day. But I want to give you a warning tonight. We're going to have to keep on expecting and looking and watching for the coming of the Lord. And we're going to have to be careful, because that thief out there has got a plan to rob you and steal from you. How many remembers the parable about the seed that goes on the different types of ground? One ground was stony, and it just propped up, and it didn't have no roots, and it died. But there was one of those grounds that was good, fertile ground that became roots, and it was able to grow. Folks, we've got to have that type of mentality and that type of life in our walk today, is to allow the Spirit of God to talk to us, strengthen us, and be watchful. So your expectation needs to be, watch for the thief. The scripture says to be vigilant, to be watchful. Thief cometh but to steal and kill, but Jesus come to give life in John 10:10. But we got to realize this, to be sober and be watching for what he's trying to do in our lives. Blessed. And said, then who is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over this household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing. How many wants to be doing? When the master comes, the Lord comes, he finds us doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant and eat and drink and with drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, an hour when he is not aware of, shall be cut asunder, and upon him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Your expectation in God, your expectation of what you should be and what I should be as a servant of God, is going to make a difference in our life and also the outcome of our life. Peter could have just, when he denied Christ and cursed real big, and he could have just quit right there. But that wasn't God's plan. When he heard the rooster crow, he could have said, it's over and it's done. Because I'm certain that he felt his heart sink within him, Brother Bobby, when he heard that rooster crow. And he denied Christ 3 times, just as the Lord had said. But yet, folks, Peter wept bitterly and God restored him. And again, I ask us, what's our expectation? Do you believe God will answer your prayers? I tell you, we've had some miracles around here. Sister Douglas, granddaughter there, Teresa, that was just a miracle upon miracles. When we heard about that, it was so exciting. Now, why does God do that? We don't know, but I can tell you, God's got, sometimes God takes and sometimes God just gives. And that was God's plan for her to come through that wreck. And I can tell you right now, I've not seen the vehicle, but I'd be safe in saying there have been many, many vehicles with less damage than that that's been taking somebody's life. How many is with me? Is anybody expecting God to continue to save? As a pastor, I tell you, the iron gate's wide open, and I'm expecting anything. Anybody with me? Can I tell you right now, listen to me, in the middle of the most power of darkness that engulfs your life, God's still working. Stand with me. Scripture says in Proverbs, I believe it is. Come get us a song. Proverbs in chapter 10, 23 says, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The devil expects things to happen in your life and destroy you, but God has got greater plans. How many is glad for God's plan this morning, tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, tonight we thank you for victory. Thank you, Lord, for coming by here. Praise you for this group of people, Lord, that's come. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And souls are being touched. We praise you for that. We're thanking you for things to come. But, Lord, tonight, if there's one in this place tonight that needs a touch, a spiritual touch, an uplifting, Lord, I'm praying right now, God, move upon their lives and manifest yourself in this altar service. And we'll praise you for it in your holy name. Amen. As they begin to sing, this altar is open tonight. If we've said something tonight that might have encouraged you or stirred your heart, I can tell you right now, it's not me, it's God. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Altars are open. Maybe you just need to pray. Maybe you're in the middle of that prison. You need that angel to come by and say, oh, get your clothes on, let's go.